Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Live from Colatex Bakery and Deli at 2445 North Harlem Avenue in Chicago, where you can find fabulous homemade artisan breads and organic products. It's a foodie party for the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find, temperate zones and tropic climes, and true currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. His motto is, there's no use crying over spelt bread. Here he is, live from Colatex Bakery and Deli, Mike Novak.
Yee-hoo! That wasn't Heather. That was Denny. We are live at Colatex Bakery and Deli at, and I had the address, and I've been saying it like a whole bunch of times.
2445 North Harlem Avenue
in Chicago.
At the corner of Grand.
You see, you point the finger at me and I freeze. I just go.
I got your totally. Back. That's why I'm here. It's my job.
I appreciate that. Lisa Albrecht is here. Carol Brewer is back. We're sorry, Carol.
Leaving you behind. I'm eating your share of Danishes, though.
Not just Danish.
Oh,
I mean,
there's so much food
here. We've got kolachkis and we've got the.
I've had one of everything so far.
It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Denny and Carol, are you guys there?
Yep,
at
I am
the studio?
Here.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Holding down. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Holding down the fort. We appreciate it very much because. It's going to be really fun here today at Colatex Bakery and Deli, or as Bart would inform me, Coatec. You can say Coatec. It's okay, right? Right, Bart? Yeah, see? And he's going to be on in just a second to explain the Colatex story. We've got a lot of things going on, and first and foremost among them is our contest. We want to give away, actually, Colatex wants to give away a loaf of bread a week for the next 44 weeks, which takes us basically to the end of the year.
You know, I heard about this yesterday during the Mighty House show, and I thought I would quit so that I could be qualified to win. Is it too late? Can I quit the station so I can be qualified to
get
enter
out of here.
The contest?
Sign out right now, okay? You're not getting paid for today.
It's such a great deal.
It is. And Colatex has 44. 44 is the magic number, and I happen to have that little ticket right here. See, this is worth its weight.
That's the Willy Wonka golden ticket right there.
It's worth its weight in spelt. Is that what we're going to say? And I didn't, you know, before I came here first, I had no idea what spelt was. I'm going to have to. Oh, Matt wants to get a shot here too, because this is something that you're never going to see again, Matt. All right. Just so you know. All right. And somebody's going to win this ticket and each week you're going to come in and they're going to punch it for you. And you're going to walk away with one of their 44 varieties of homemade artisan breads, non-GMO, fresh bake, made with all natural ingredients, no preservatives. Now, here's the way you qualify. We are doing the show here today from 9 to 11 a.m. You don't have to be here before the show ends, but you do have to be here before the end of the day, 6 p.m. And Chris is over there right now. I don't know how long Chris is going to be around, but we will have the box here. Make sure that you can enter if you come to Colatex today. You can enter, and you might win 44 loaves of bread, one a week, for the rest of the year. So I hope folks will come down. I hope folks will join us now. We have a bunch of people here. It's just a Sunday, a snowy Sunday in Chicago, which reminds me that, of course, at 9:45, Rick DeMaio will be here to tell us why it won't stop snowing in Chicago and we may never have spring. And before that, Bart Kolatek will be here to tell us about the bakery and deli. And if you've never been here, okay, Lisa, you want to give me your experience?
I'm overwhelmed. I actually posted because I have some wonderful Polish friends that I wish would come shopping with me because there are so many incredible things. And to all of my friends who have food allergy children, you need to come here to shop because the selection of flowers and organic food items and just good, pure food, it's here. You have to come here to shop. I was really impressed. I picked up some kale chips and all kinds of organic-y things, and then the chocolate selection is out of this world. Don't go.
Well,
go to Walgreens and pick up chocolate cake.
No,
you have to come
again.
Here.
You'll never go
European
anyplace else to get your meats
lovely
either.
European
and your pastries. Now, sitting in front of us is that big couple of big plates of pastries, and you have never tasted anything so good. And of course, we're coming up on Fat Tuesday. Which will be preceded by Fat Monday after this. So I hope folks, Mike McCarthy has already had his fill here and may have a couple of more. And I know that Matt Cummings and Mark Ernest and some of the other staff at WCPT and Corinne have all been tasting the fare. So it's wonderful. So come on down, join us and sign up. Enter the contest for the 44. Oh, and I would be remiss. Chris would never forgive me, our promotions guy, if I didn't say the name of the contest is Breadwinner. Get it? Where's the bell?
Breadwinner.
If you got the bell there,
he's running down the hallway.
where's the rim shot? We've got it there. This is the Breadwinner contest. So take it. Thank you, Denny. Appreciate. we are sitting, by the way, at the checkout here, and the snow is behind us outside, and the folks are coming in, out, and checking out and wondering what the heck is going on here, and that's quite all right with me. All right, the other thing, second hour, Bart first hour, Rick DeMaio, then in the second hour, as you know, we've been talking about the Good Food Festival, which is coming up in Chicago on the 13th, 14th, and 15th of March. And you can go to goodfoodfestivals.com or just go to my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show, and you will see all the information about that. We have a couple of folks who are going to be speaking at the Good Food Festival. One is standing right over there, and that's Jill Niewohner. Did I pronounce it right? Am I close enough, Jill? Yeah, Jill Niewohner. And what's so cool about her is she grows mushrooms, all right? Now, there's a lot of folks out there, they love organic gardening, and especially, you know, if you come to a place like Kolatek's, you got to get the Polish mushrooms because that's the only way you can do your kapusta is with the Polish mushrooms. That's the way Mom always told me. And my sister, who has picked up the recipe, gets the Polish mushrooms. But you can also grow them in your own backyard. They won't necessarily be Polish, Jill, will they? but they will be mushrooms. And I don't know any mushroom gardeners. So that's why I'm so excited to talk to Jill. I mean, the idea is she brings in a bunch of logs, believe it or not, rolls them out in the backyard, inoculates them, waits for a rain, and then voila! Is it that simple? She's nodding. She says it's that simple. So she will be here in the second hour to talk about that. Jean Nolan, the organic gardener, she's been on the show before because she had her book come out last year that we talked about, which is From the Ground Up, a Food Grower's Education in Life, Love, and the Movement that's Changing the Nation. But she's also speaking at the Good Food Festival. And she will be here to talk about organic vegetable gardening for the backyard farmer. So we've got the veggies and the mushrooms. I love the combination. So there in the second hour, And, of course, your phone calls are welcome, 773-763-9278. We are going to try to give away some tickets. I have tickets to the Good Food Festival. We have a few pairs of those to give away. So maybe you have a good question, and maybe if we like the question, we'll give you tickets. Or maybe we'll just say fifth caller. I don't know. All right, finally, the big announcement, because I did tweet about this earlier. And you don't even know about this.
Well,
thank you. No, go ahead, Denny, with the drum roll. That's good. And I'll wait till it ends. And, yeah. Some people have gotten wind of this in the last few weeks. I'm coming out with my first book. And it is called Attack of the Killer Asparagus. McCarthy likes that. He's laughing here. And I hope other people will, too, because it's a compilation of columns that I've done for Chicagoland Gardening Magazine for 11 years. I've been writing for them, and they still pay me. So we're putting a bunch of those together. And to get the book published, I am doing a Kickstarter campaign, along with Kathleen Thompson, who's actually my publisher, my partner and my publisher, with Around the Block Press. And the way we're going to fund it is a Kickstarter, which we launched about, 20 minutes ago? It just went up. And they need to go to what on Kickstarter?
Actually, if they go to MikeNovak.net.
It's on the homepage.
See,
that's right.
I've got inside info.
Better
I was
than
watching Kathleen launch it. So if you go to MikeNovak.net on the homepage, right there in the center is Attack of the Killer Asparagus. Click on it, and it will take you directly to the Kickstarter.
And there's a video. And there's information, so you know what you're getting into. We hope you know what you're getting into. Go in with your eyes open. We have all kinds of premiums for people who sign up. Some of them include some of my world-famous Christmas carols set to horticultural lyrics sung by the Frozen Robins. They don't know they're doing that yet, but they're going to. You can see the picture of the asparagus done by my illustrator, Allison Hunter, who's wonderful. So that is my big announcement. I'm actually going to get my book done after all these years. And I'm hoping that you can help me. Spread the word if you can. Spread the link. We're not asking for a whole lot of money, just enough to get us up and rolling. And I hope you'll take advantage of it. Go to MikeNovak.net. Look for Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
And you can
go to Kickstarter and search for Attack of the Killer Asparagus as well. So if you're used to going straight to Kickstarter, but see, I'm always trying to drive traffic to my website. That's the way that works. Okay, that's the big announcement. We need to get rolling. Bart Kolatek is coming up next. And first I want to let you know that, did you know that today is March Hog Day? Yep, that's the day that occurs exactly a month after Groundhog Day. If the groundhog appears today, he's usually in a Speedo. And he's often seen clutching the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. If only can you imagine seeing a groundhog in a Speedo? And anyway, he's clutching the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, if only because... even a groundhog can get sick of winter. And he tweeted me this morning that he likes the story about how to figure out in the fall where you need to plant bulbs for the spring. You know, when it gets to the end of summer and you forget where the bare spots were in the spring. Then he sent me a private message on Facebook about how much he liked the story about the Victorian home in Gray's Lake that comes alive with tulips in the spring. Obviously, we have a spring message going on here. Groundhog likes his bulbs. Oh, and by the way, he texted me about my latest column on the inside back page. Never mind, you don't want to know what he said. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine at locations all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
Oh, yeah. And we are in the green room. Welcome to the Mike Novak Show live this morning from Colatex Bakery and Deli. And the chief cook and bottle washer of Colatex. Does that apply to you, Bart?
Yeah, that's one of my titles, yes.
Yeah, I bet it is. Along with everything else, when I come in here, I see you doing just about everything.
Yes, I wear many hats. Now,
I have to ask, how long has the business been here, and how many family members have been involved?
Oh, wow. Our whole family was involved. We've been here about 15 years, in the expanded store like we see here about 10 years now.
Uh-huh. And it's a great location here, right? Just about at the corner of Grand and Harlem. You brought some visual aids. It's a shame we don't have a camera. Well, we have cameras here, but they're still cameras, and they're going off constantly.
Yes, they did, yeah. Well, these are some of our grains we use in our breads, and I wanted to show you what the sprouting process actually is and what that signifies.
All right.
Here we have, for instance, spelt berries that are just regular spelt berries, you can see. And here,
well, all right, now you got to stop right there. Okay, regular spelt berries. What's spelt?
Spelt is another bread grain along the likes of wheat and rye. Mm. However, you were talking about ancient grains last week.
Right.
It's one of the most ancient grains out there is. This comes from Roman times, and it's a very, very healthy grain for you.
Why, or maybe I'm wrong, has it not been as popular as other grains?
Absolutely. It's a very hard grain to work with. We here are spelt specialists. We've been doing it for a while. As a bread goes, as a grain goes, it is a very hard grain to work with because the gluten content is very low.
Uh-huh.
It is very hard. This bread,
but that's a good thing for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Well, it's a good thing for small bakeries like us that do small batch baking.
Yeah.
You can't do this on industrial scale. The grain just disintegrates. It just doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
It has to be small batch bread for it to be viable.
All right. So, and I interrupted you. You were explaining some of the different grains you have.
This is what it looks like. We add spelt berries to a lot of our breads. These are actually, you see the tails, how they're sprouting?
Yeah.
Actually sprouting right there. And that's what we use in our breads. We cold mill this, and we start off with this. And this is some of the grains we use.
So you don't mind if it starts to sprout?
No, we want it to sprout.
I mean, because I know that's you've got the also sprouted grains that you use.
Yes, well, these are those sprouted grains.
And then there are those that are not sprouted grains.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, well, no, these are, I'm just showing how they looked before, and that's this.
We got to explain this to me Lisa, did you?
I was just going to say, so when you go to the back of the store, you know how at Whole Foods you can do the, you can buy things in bulk? So there's an entire wall full of an incredible selection of different grains and flours and all kinds of.
Yes, this is an area for our home bread bakers.
I had no idea what they were.
Yes, it's basically bread grains, bread flours.
And what
flours.
About people who are making beer? Would this be
absolutely
a good place?
Yeah. Can make spelt beer. You can make vodka out of it, actually.
Well, there you go,
right,
folks.
Now?
Well,
no. You got any of that back there?
What do we do, actually?
It's Sunday.
Explain why sprouted breads are good.
Well, the whole thing is the flour. We go back to the flour. You guys were talking about wheat last week. Wheat is problematic, and we call it a modern civilization problem because wheat has actually because wheat was so so efficient at making bread at one point. The modern food industry has dragged it over their hood and just kind of it was what they've done with wheat in the modern age is actually kind of sad.
But it was all in the service of preservation, wasn't it? And making breads that would last longer and would not spoil as quickly.
Yes, yes, that is one of the reasons. Also, the other reason is to make, you know, some of your other types of breads. Like you want to have the extra white bread or the ones with, you know, you want this kind of crust. Wheat is very easy to manipulate, and you can separate it out. And actually, wheat, in my opinion, is a very good pastry flour. I always say, why eat white bread? Well, you should be preserving that flour for your dessert. Why don't be eating dessert for your
okay,
day.
So there is a use for the white
absolutely.
Flour.
It's a fantastic... Yeah. In the old days, white flour was made for pastries. For if you had money, if you had gravitas, you had cakes. Uh-huh. And you had the white flours that were hard to make back then, and you were able to make cakes out of them, and you were somebody if you were able to have a white dough. Uh-huh. And basically, the peasants would eat this stuff.
the stuff that you're holding,
the stuff
right
that
now.
We're holding now, yeah. And that was actually better for you. And you know, back in older times, everything was sprouted because grains were not able to. You couldn't store grains as efficiently as you were able to now. So grains sometimes got wet, humidity,
they would sprout. So you weren't going to throw those away. You were going to use them anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of it, by default, the bread was sprouted, you know, back in the day. Mm-hmm. Now that has gone away until, you know, we actually start looking at it, and the sprouted grain has a larger protein profile. The grain, actually, the endosperm actually takes up a lot of the starch as a fuel to make the stem, to make the root, and then we actually stop it at this point. As you can see the little tails. Mm-hmm. We don't want it to go any further, so now we actually cold mill it and put it into our bread along with our sprouted flours.
So let me see if I got this straight. And by the way, I didn't say gin dobre, earlier, and I should have. Okay. And I can go with yakshamash, and that's about it. Okay, that's all we got.
Oh, that's what you taught me, yakshamash.
Bardzo dobrze, dziękuję.
You have Polish grandmother.
I had Polish everything. All four of my grandparents came over.
Did you
over.
Not understand all that?
They never taught me this.
That's a crime.
It is a crime.
That's a crime.
It's kind of sad. In fact, I'm thinking I should go to the Learning Center or something. Does the Learning Center even exist anymore? I don't know. But it seems odd that we've gone from a place where the sprouted grains were the least interesting, or they were the ones that were, you know, had passed their prime, and now we're going to the point where we're trying to cultivate it. But the difference being, you try to stop it at a certain point in the process.
Yes, yeah. Well, we can control it now. Uh-huh. Much more efficiently. We can sprout it the way we want it. We can sprout it. Your body actually digests this differently. You don't digest it as a starch. You digest it as more of a vegetable. So your body actually, if you're not used to eating sprouted bread, you but will get a little bit of a digestive difference when you're eating it. But
how does that manifest itself when you're in the office? That's what I'm
actually. No, it's not as bad as you think. But
okay,
it will leave you. You know, the one thing we keep hearing from our customers every day is, I feel better. I feel better. I feel better after eating a lot of your bread. I feel better after eating.
Well, that's
your bread.
Also the low gluten as well doing
well,
that?
Well, yeah. So the sprouts also degenerate the gluten as well. Spelt, the gluten level in spelt is so much smaller than wheat. It's like comparing a little league team to the Yankees. Mm-hmm. With the gluten profiles. It just has a very, very weak gluten, and that's the problem why people don't make this bread, because it's very hard to make it actually turn into a bread. And we're able to do that. We're actually one of the only places available that has a 100% spelt bread. Most spelt breads are a percentage of it. We make 100% spelt bread. We make 80% spelt bread. We have a 50-50, which is a very popular. We have a sprouted rye and sprouted spelt bread, along with these grains you see here. Actually, these grains right here.
Okay.
These are seven seeds of rye. We have amaranth right here. All the different grains. We have mung beans. We don't use soy in our process. We don't use any corn syrups. We use honey or molasses or vegetable type of vegetables in our sweetening of the bread. And it is delicately it's not. We go back to production of bread the way it was made in old country. Here in America, we've noticed that a lot of times when they're making health food breads, they're trying to still make it into the Wonder Bread model. They're still trying to make the sprouted bread or the healthy bread or the organic bread taste like Wonder Bread. And we don't want to force the grain into that set taste profile. We want mm-hmm. the bread and the grain to talk for itself, to speak for itself, the actual flavors of the grain to come out. Actually, there's something I want to have people think about. I tell customers all the time, do a little experiment at home. Take a white bread and take a whole grain bread or a sprouted bread and do what I call it the 50-chew test. Start chewing the white bread 50 times and see how far you'll get.
Okay.
You won't get very far. With sprouted bread or whole grain bread, or you know, bread is.
You mean it will disintegrate?
It will disintegrate. It will be just turn. You will not want to swallow it. That's the problem with modern civilization.
I don't want to anyway,
now.
But okay.
Because we just, what we eat food and we're on the rush. We're trying to go with this and that, fast food. We're trying to get something to eat and we don't think about it. But if you actually take a sprouted bread and you chew, you hear these, you taste these complex flavors evolve. Nuttiness, you get this aromas.
Yeah.
The grain is how it's supposed to taste. Bread is supposed to be full of taste. We shouldn't be putting taste into bread. The bread should be having the taste on its own. And along with that, you have the whole health aspect of it. We do a large portion of our business rotates around the breads.
And that's why we want folks to stop by Colatex today. We're at Colatex Bakery and Deli. And we want you to stop by 2445 North Harlem, by the way.
There we go.
Yes, thank you. I can burn stuff into my brain cells, actually. And we are giving away a bread a week for until the end of the year. 44. So you have 44 different varieties.
44 different varieties of bread. Almost every day.
You got to just get the copyright on there, like the Baskin Robbins thing. 44 varieties.
Well, the problem is we always keep adding on.
I know. How many did you start with?
Officially, I think about 15 years ago, we probably had about 20. But then you have your Polish rye and your small Polish rye, and then you get yours, you know, all the different, you know, varieties of, you know, sourdoughs. We started thinking, well, why don't we take it a step further? Why don't we actually start making bread? Why don't we make real sourdoughs? That's another thing that we specialize in is sourdoughs.
All right, what's the difference between a fake sourdough and a real sourdough?
Well, a sourdough is very hard. It's another type of bread that's very hard to make. A sourdough it's a long rise. It takes a very long time for it to actually proof, to actually rise, and most bakeries don't have that space or patience. To make that bread. We have a setup in such a way where we can actually have that bread slow rise all day and still make our other breads, because we try to make it. We kind of try to engineer our surrounding to benefit the bread instead of the other way around. We try to make the bread. We work around the bread instead of making bread bent to our will.
So that's Bart Kolatek from Kolatek Bakery.
Now, I'm curious. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, actually, my favorite is Seven Seeds of Rye, which is
it
is the healthiest bread and the best tasting bread in my opinion.
Seven Seeds of Rye.
It is a sourdough, 100% gluten. 100% sprouted, non-GMO, organic sourdough version. There's no wheat in it. It's a rye spelt. Most sprouted grain. It's 100% sprouted grain.
It's like you're clenching your fist. Like,
it's an amazing bread. It'll keep you satiated for most of the day.
All right.
It is an offshoot of an Ezekiel. We know what an Ezekiel is. Ezekiel bread is.
It's a living bread.
Huh?
Is Ezekiel a living bread?
Yes, it is. Well, it's the same thing with this one. Absolutely.
Oh, these because the grains in them.
Yes, we make
sprouted.
An Ezekiel as well. Our Ezekiel is actually awesome. It doesn't taste like a bath sponge.
That's a good thing. We don't like breads that taste like bath sponges.
Well, people who eat Ezekiel bread know what I'm talking about.
I've eaten some bath sponges in my day, and they're not fun. So it also says something about the fact you've got these 44 different breads, and you bake them here. You've told me some things about not only do you have the oven, you got a smoker here too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We have dual smoke houses. We have
dual. All right, let's start with the ovens and then go to the smokers.
Well, we have a oven right in the front of our store. It is a steam infused stone hearth oven. Mm-hmm. And that's where we make all our breads. And then we have in the back. We also have in a separate part of the store. We have twin smokers, that we smoke our own meats. Our fish, our smoked salmon is.
I had your salmon yesterday, okay, for dinner. Just so you know, because you guys delivered some stuff to WCPT yesterday. And by the way, they've been really good to us at WCPT. Mighty House folks, people who listen to Mighty House. I saw you. You had your picture with Bill Press. You're a famous guy now. You're pretty fancy. I had the salmon yesterday, and you must understand, I've had Pacific Northwest smoked salmon that has basically come out of the ocean and into somebody's smoker, and then I get it. Yours was just as good. It was unbelievable.
Well, we've actually shipped to Seattle our smoked salmon.
Maybe I had yours when I was in Seattle.
Well, not all, but yeah, we have people come from Seattle and look at our taste our smoked salmon and go gaga over it. It is a very good salmon. Well, we have hardcore fishermen here working here. So in order to have that passion in your recreational life, it actually translates into your professional life. And we have some, like I said, we go fishing hardcore. So we have guys that know that product and are able to do that.
We'll get back to the smoked meats in a second, but I keep getting sidetracked when I talk about the breads, because one of the things that happens here is folks come in on certain days at certain times to get certain breads. So they know your schedule. And so
yeah.
Does that mean you have to kind of stick to that schedule?
Well, it's schedule depends. We call it normal week versus a non-normal week. Like Tuesday or this next coming last week and this week is not going to be a normal week because
right.
it's Fat Tuesday and all
right.
the punchkis we're baking, we're preparing thousands and thousands of punchkis for that day. But yeah, we have a set schedule that we see, but that also the market kind of dictates. If we see also a rush on one type of bread or also which promotion we're doing on Facebook, you know, the one thing that we see our customers happy about is if they don't have their one specific bread they like, there's always another type of health food bread that they could focus on, or even our Polish rye breads. There some of them are officially white bread, but we still don't use preservatives in our bread. We encourage our customers to slice it themselves. If not, they could freeze their breads. They freeze it very well.
You'll also sell them a half loaf.
Yeah, we sell half loaves.
That's the other thing. I came here the other time. I said, I'm not going to eat all that in time because they said, okay, cut it in half.
Absolutely.
You know? And so you get a half loaf of bread. And as you said, the smart thing to do is slice it yourself at home. Because it doesn't dry out, is that?
Absolutely. Well, you don't introduce oxygen into the bread. The whole thing about, well, the greatest thing since sliced bread, not so much.
Well, wait a second. We found out the other day, Kathleen, about Betty White is older than sliced bread.
Yes, I saw that.
Did you see that?
Okay, I love that.
That is absolutely true. Betty White is older than sliced bread.
Well, the thing about sliced bread and the wheat modification is that allowed bakeries to go into the industrial parks and then basically export and bring their breads into the grocery stores. That took the bakery out of the neighborhood. We no longer have that. You can't very often go down the block and go to your local bakery and pick up a fresh baked bread anymore because all the bread, unfortunately, is frozen.
Mm-hmm.
All the bread in the grocery stores have been at one point frozen. They thaw it out and sell it to you, which makes it very hard for you to freeze it again.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of we want to go back to the older days where you actually had to go and get your daily bread. You had to go and get your fresh baked bread for the day. You know, you get your cold cuts for the day. You know, it's the original fast food, the quick sandwich. That's what we should be eating instead of, you know, fast food that we know it today.
Yeah.
Well, I like that you sell a half loaf because if I buy bread, I don't eat a lot of bread, but if I buy bread, I put it in the freezer because I'm one person and I can't get through it. So a half loaf would be a great option for me.
Sure, yeah. And then you could even freeze a few slices and eat a few slices.
Right. Then I just pick away at it.
Absolutely. And it toasts fantastic. When you toast our breads, when you take them out of the freezer and toast them, man, it's fantastic.
All right. I'm going to need a knife to cut into one of these punchkis because I think I need something else.
That is Lisa Albrecht from the show with Bart Kolatek from Kolatek's Bakery and Deli at 2445 North Harlem in Chicago. Stop by. We're broadcasting live, the Mike Novak Show. I just want to give you folks a chance. If you come in before 6 p.m. today, you fill out an entry, you might win a loaf of bread, one of these fabulous breads. And I imagine, do people have to get a different one each week, or do they end up liking
it? No, any bread. Any bread they
Whatever
want.
Whatever you want.
If you want the organic one, if you want the Polish rye, if you want, you know, a regular white bread,
and
we have that too.
Yeah.
Our white bread's awesome compared to other white breads, actually. So.
Well, and your hours are, it looks like, Monday through Friday, 7 until 9.
Yes.
And then... Is it Saturday and Sunday that is 8 until 4?
No, Saturday is also from 7 to 9, and Sunday is 8 to 6.
Okay. So folks can come in and enter the contest, and we will draw tomorrow the winner of the 44 kinds of bread. Now, we've gone through the spelt. We've gone through the low and non-gluten. There are other things, other grains you have there. For instance, you've got quinoa.
Yes, absolutely. We have multiple types of quinoa. We use it in our production as well.
Yeah.
We have our gluten-free
And we're talking bread. In bins where you can come in
you
and get
You can come and get the quantity you want.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they're all raw. All our grains are non-GMO or organic.
How do you know that?
Well, the problem, yeah.
Because, I mean, the battle's being fought. One of them in Illinois right now is labeling GMO foods. My feel, you know, if you look around, you really don't know most places when you shop whether it's GMO or not.
When the labeling is there, we put it on our labeling. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the labeling isn't there.
How do you feel about that law?
Well, in general,
or the idea of having a law like that.
I think we should be definitely looking at non-GMOs compared to GMOs. Absolutely. Uh-huh. We should be labeling that, yeah. A lot of times, for instance, we use a non-GMO oil in our oil production. We don't use any soybean oils. We use a canola oil, and we use grapeseed oil in our breads. And we also use olive oils, and all of them are non-GMO. But I found out, not from the packaging, I found out from the company website, because their packaging hasn't caught up with their information yet. So it's still an infant stage. Mm-hmm. A lot of health foods, and a lot of times we also see, you know, what's going on in the latest health foods. I think people are fighting against each other as well. Kind of there's a tug of war happening, where the health food industry doesn't know which way it's going. For instance, I am not happy the way the health food bread industry is going. It's good for me, but in general, I don't think it's going in the right direction.
Okay, explain.
Well, you know, I go to a lot of these food shows, and the whole gluten-free issue is made black and white. But there's so much grayscale between that. There's so much, you know. I saw a guy selling what he called rye bread, gluten-free rye bread. I'm like, well, how is that possible? Rye has gluten. Well, it's not really rye. It's just caraway. Well, you can't call it a caraway bread. Yeah. So I feel that, you know, it's either frozen bread and bread that's being set up, like I said before, into the Wonder Bread template. Mm-hmm. Where it's all trying to be that soft kind of, where I think bread should be allowed to go its organic, natural way.
All right, we have a couple more minutes, and you've got to do the rest of the store in 2 minutes.
Well, and the rest of the store, I think people need to realize that this is not just a bakery, this is a grocery store.
Yes, it is.
And there is every ethnic food you can think of here. I mean, every European brand that I've ever heard of.
Yes, well, this is a European store. We have a lot of Polish foods. We have a lot of German foods, Swedish foods, French foods, you know, in general. And then we also import a lot of the organics, all naturals, local stuff.
One of the things you've talked to me about before is your meats and how they're often seasoned very basically with salt and pepper.
Yeah. We go differently than a lot of ways. We use very minimal cures compared to other industrial plants. We just go basically marinate or cure very delicately. And a lot of times we actually have a country style, which is a version of like meats that has traditional just seasonings, salt, pepper. But they look different. They're not as pink. They're a little bit grayer. But the taste is there. And people actually like the fact that it's made in the old school way, just like our bread.
Yeah.
Our whole philosophy in general is going back to our roots, going back to our grandparents. The way our grandparents ate, and that's what we try to do every stage of.
And of course, you have a lot of the traditional Polish dishes, which I appreciate. I got your kapusta soup the other when I came by before. I liked it.
Is that the mushroom one?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys had mushrooms. You probably did it.
Yeah, well, there's multiple versions.
Yeah, there's
we do magic with sauerkraut.
You know, and Bart was very funny. He says, I said, well, my mom used to make this, and I loved it. He said, well, I'm not going to try to compete with your mom.
Yeah, well.
Because everybody's got a different version.
Absolutely.
You know?
And your mom's version is always the right version.
That is the right. Well,
that is the right version. Right,
and
exactly.
even your dairy. You were showing me. Tell me about that one Amish.
Kalana Organics. We've been carrying this milk for over 10 years. It is a non-homogenized milk dairy out of Iowa. It's a bunch of Amish and Mennonite families that have established a co-op, and they sell in this local area the milk, and it's grass fed. It's flash pasteurized, which means it just reaches the temperature and they bring it down. You got your CLA in it. It's organic and it's not homogenized, which means the cream rises to the top. We have the yogurts, sour creams, you know, different aspects of the dairy, you know, and it's a phenomenal product.
And how many kinds of raw honey do you
have?
There's an entire shelf of just honey.
We have a very...
You know, and that's actually an issue because I found out recently that some things that pass as honey are really high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, it's sad.
It really is.
These all look like raw milled honey.
You think you're eating healthy, but
yeah, and you're not. which means you need to come to a place like this to get your
Have the actual honeycomb. If you don't believe it, at least you know the honeycomb. You can't produce a honeycomb. We sell honeycombs. We sell honeycombs in jars. We sell honeycombs like that. So we sell pure honey, even with all the bee ingredients in it, the nectar, the pollen, and the propolis.
Well, Barkolatech, thank you for welcoming us into your home here, your business, but it's your home. You know, it's a family home. And, again, I invite people to come down to Kolatech's Bakery and Deli at 2445 North Harlem. If you're here before 6 p.m., you can enter the contest, win a loaf of bread, artisan, fresh, any kind of bread you want, one a week for the rest of the year. And we will there will be one winner, but you've got until 6 p.m. today to come and enter. So, Bart, thank you so much. It's a pleasure having you here.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and thank you for being here.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Believe it or not, the growing season will be here soon, and some of you, we'll find out from Rick DeMaio in a second, and some of you will be thinking of picking trees for planting first, after this winter. You should know that the tree should be cold hardy to our area. Northern Illinois is in USDA hardiness zone 5, so you need to look for trees that are hardy to zone 5 or colder. This is usually not a problem when buying locally. Consider the conditions of your planting site. What type of drainage and soil moisture are present at the site? Is compaction a problem? What is the soil pH? Usually in this area, this is Chicago, in this side of the lake anyway, we're dealing with alkaline soils and clay. How much sun or shade does the location receive? Also, plan ahead and be sure that the planting site can handle the mature size of the tree. That's always a big one, you know. You got to know how big it's going to get before you put it in. Want more help? Here's what you should do. Call the Care of Trees at 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. 800-508-9466 or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
If you've ever filed a lawsuit, you know that it can be stressful, even traumatic. And if you've been exposed to asbestos, silica dust, or other lung toxins, you're going to need a law firm that can guide you through the legal maze efficiently and effectively. The attorneys of Penn Rakowski are exactly who you're looking for. They view each client and their needs as unique. They're focused on one thing and one thing only, lung disease. And they're based right here in Illinois and Wisconsin. The lawyers at Penn Rakowski have been representing individuals suffering from lung disease and their families for a combined 35 years. And because they're local, they can come to you. They've successfully represented asbestos workers, electricians, carpenters, machinists, and others throughout both states. Contact Penn Rakowski at dustlaw.com or call them toll-free at 888-LUNG-LAW. That's 888-LUNG-LAW. Penn Rakowski, local, committed, caring.
Have you noticed that there's something going on in the food industry? It's becoming much less industrial. People all over Chicagoland, the U.S., and the world are rediscovering fresh, local food. Thursday, March 13th through the 15th, the Good Food Festival and Conference makes its return to Chicago at the UIC Forum. There will be urban farm tours, workshops with experts in a range of fields, and exhibitors from across the country sharing the latest in sustainable food systems, public policy, and of course, great food to enjoy. Just visit goodfoodfestivals.com to learn more. There, you can purchase tickets, get directions, and check out the workshop schedule and the exhibitor list. Sustainable local food systems can transform our communities, our environment, and our economy. But it's up to us to get informed and get involved. It's the 10th Annual Good Food Festival and Conference, March 13th through the 15th at the UIC Forum in Chicago. Brought to you by FamilyFarmed.org. For more information, go to goodfoodfestivals.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
And now back to the Mike Novak Show Foodie Party from Colatex Bakery and Deli at 2445 North Harlem Avenue in Chicago. Mike's got your punch key right here, pal. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Woohoo! We got people here. And we're having a great time, and I hope you can come out and join us. I see that we got a tweet here from Zan. Zan, always a pleasure to hear from you. She said, a loaf of that bread plus a jug of wine. I think she meant wine. It says wind. And thou, Mike Novak, need to be one of your Kickstarter incentives. And you might have heard earlier that I just launched a Kickstarter this morning for my new book, Attack of the Killer Asparagus. I hope you go on. And I actually have a person who has contributed already. Oh, let's.
There we go. I'm up. Nope,
yeah.
Almost.
You,
yep. There we go.
Were you the first?
I'm the first.
Lisa was. Oh, that's so sweet, Lisa. I appreciate that. So go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to the homepage, and you'll see Attack of the Killer Asparagus if you want to help my Kickstarter campaign launch my first book. Let's go to the phone. Let's bring in meteorologist Rick DeMille. Rick, good morning.
Good morning. I think I had many killer asparagus as a kid growing up when my mother would pull out that frozen chunk of bird's eye vegetables out of the freezer, put in a pot of water, heat it up, strain it, and dump it on our plate.
You know,
as frozen as you can possibly get.
Absolutely. I didn't realize until, you're not going to believe this. I didn't realize until I know, because our parents, they're kind of in the same generation.
Yeah, everything was frozen. Yeah.
That's right. Bird's Eye was their favorite company in the world. My mom's too.
Yep.
And I didn't realize you could eat broccoli raw until I was an adult. And I didn't realize.
Yeah, you can eat it raw. It just doesn't taste good. You got to throw a bunch of cheddar cheese and little bits of bacon bits on. That makes it better, right? Lisa agrees.
Well, I like Hidden Valley Ranch dressing. Okay.
Oh,
that's,
God.
You don't like that?
No, it's fatty. Yeah, I'm.
Well, you make it with the light mayonnaise and 2% milk, and you're cutting way down on that.
you got to be careful about mentioning on the radio they're giving away free bread in my neighborhood back in Queens, and then free money. So just be on the lookout there.
Well, I already had Robbie from Mighty House yesterday say that I was going to be here with the bacon and caramel bacon kolachkis.
Right.
The punchkis. Caramel bacon. Yeah.
Which I haven't seen.
Do we have any of those caramel bacon?
No, we have so many beautiful things in front of me, but I don't know what they are. Well, and she also said if you mention something special that you, Mike Novak, would actually buy.
Yeah. She was setting me up. All right, that's the way that works.
Not much punchki left after the caramel and the bacon, huh?
Yeah, I don't think so. But we have the other punchkis here. We've got the, oh, my goodness, cream and jelly.
And they are so light and
fluffy. And the kolachkis are just, all of this is just fabulous. So it's a shame you're not here.
Switching, Mike, and becoming more religious. You'll be getting your ashes on Wednesday?
That's
a good one.
I will be having my punchkis on Tuesday. That's all that means, okay?
All right.
I'll get double ashes.
Forget about the ashes, right?
Yeah, you do that for me, Lisa, okay?
Go on.
I'm looking at the snow out here.
Pretty, wasn't it? 4 inches, officially 3.7 out of here. You probably got about the same down where you are.
Yeah, it's what it seemed like. I did a little bit of shoveling this morning. I would say probably 3 inches is what I'm thinking here.
Yeah, but I guess the total amount, if you include the stuff that came Friday night and last night, which was, I don't know if you got to watch any of the hockey game at Soldier Field. You couldn't have.
Oh, I did. That was fun.
Better scenario, right?
Mike McCarthy was there, so he was dealing with the weather outside.
My nephew Matthew was there, too.
You know what? I think they should do this every Saturday night, have a hockey game someplace in an outdoor stadium, and have, like, snow-making machines just throw snow onto the rink. What do you think about that?
I like the idea. I thought it reminded me when I used to play hockey as a kid, be outside, and it'd be snowing, and you didn't care. It just, but when they would shoot the puck and it would leave a trail, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. It made Timothy Leary fans quite happy, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway,
that's okay.
So
times with Lakeshore Drive, but that's okay for another time.
Anyway,
you'll get it in about an hour. So officially, right now, 72 inches of snow for the year at O'Hare Field. Isn't that sick? Think about that. That's 6 feet of snow.
My goodness,
it's absolutely nuts. That's the fourth most ever. And we're still only looking at the 2nd of March. And, you know, we average for the month of March, we average close to 8 inches. And we actually average 2 inches for the month of April. And, I mean, we can easily see another 6 inches just by average, which would put us up to 78. And the way this winter is going, we might still have another still big one, you know, in the cards. Now, the good news is that the pattern has gotten so cold over the last couple of days, it's pushed the snow track generally south of us. So there's winter storm warnings now all the way from, believe it or not, Oklahoma up into, you know, central Missouri, and even into central New Jersey. This covers literally about, I'd say, one half of the United States is inundated by this winter storm. And you got to remember that just because a large part of the country has winter storm warnings doesn't mean it's a big, big storm. It's just basically stretched out horizontally. So it's not like the storm covers the entire United States. It just is a very long storm. But to the north of us, Mike, I've never seen temperatures this cold into this late in the winter season. You know, early March temperatures across parts of North Dakota, Minnesota have broken their all-time low high temperatures, meaning that the coldest high temperature ever recorded happened just yesterday. Grand Forks, International Falls, Duluth, Minnesota, anywhere between 5 and 10 degrees below zero for highs. And some of these records have been standing for 140 years. And it's just amazing. Look at places like Marquette, Michigan, coldest winter ever. Duluth, Minnesota, 65 days below zero. International Falls, 70 days below zero. Chicago, even though we stopped with 22 days below zero, the record's 25, and this went down as a climatological winter. I'm not going to call it meteorological winter. Climatological.
I know, you don't like that word.
No, I hate it. December, January, and February went down as the third coldest three-month period ever. And this is dating all the way back to 1871. Those are pretty formidable numbers across much of the middle part and upper part of the United States.
Wait. The coldest winter ever where? Here?
No. The third coldest.
Oh, third coldest. Winter. All right. That raises a question. It raises a question with me because you're talking about the climatological, or as Tom Skilling would say, meteorological winter. They're speaking of it as if, well, that's done. We're in March. So anything that happens from this point doesn't count anymore. Well, if we get more snow, does it still count? Or if we.
Yeah, the snow is different. You actually can look at snow from December 1st to the end of February, but you can actually look at seasonal snow as well. So there's two different ways to skin a cat, so to say, here. And seasonal snow right now is still fourth highest. But if you look at just the winter, seasonal snow is third highest. So, again, when you look at this December, January, and February 3rd, but third or fourth, it doesn't matter. We've had 52 inches more this year than last year. But I think the most amazing part is that Rockford is only at 52 inches. Chicago at O'Hare has had 72, and that has come largely due to lake effect snow. And I wouldn't be surprised that once a lot of the ice begins to melt off the shorelines of the lake, you're going to notice that these lake levels are down probably almost 8 to 10, if not 12 inches in most areas, due to the fact that we've had so much evaporation. The only thing that's helped out Lake Superior probably is the fact that it's had so much ice. So usually.
Wait. Okay, we got to stop just for a second, and I know we only have a couple minutes, but
yeah.
I thought when we had ice, it stopped the evaporation, that it slowed it down.
True, but we didn't really have the lakes covered complete with ice only up until about 2 months ago, about 2 weeks ago.
Until
that point, we were evaporating water like crazy off of it. And one of the things I've noticed right along the shoreline, pretty much from about, say, Montrose up to about, say, Kenilworth, there are new sections of the lake that have these ice, if you want to call it icebergs almost, you can call them, are now literally sitting on sandbars that never existed before, which to me says that the shoreline of the lake has changed a little bit, if not the lake level has dropped. So you're probably going to see some very interesting numbers come out once we begin to melt some of this ice. And that melting may not even occur for another 3 or 4 weeks, maybe not even to the first week of April before we finally lose all the ice on the lake.
Okay, so what do we got in terms of a forecast here? We're going to get more snow soon?
You know what? There's a little clipper system coming through. Looks like Monday night into Tuesday. We will probably see a couple of inches out of this. But by and large, after a cold day today, with temperatures only in the single digits, another cold day tomorrow, temperatures in the single digits, probably mid-teens on Wednesday. And then the good news is upper 20s Wednesday, I should say mid-teens on Tuesday, upper 20s Wednesday, low 30s Thursday, mid to upper 30s Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And what's nice about this, Mike, this is going to be a very slow transition from frigid weather to above normal weather. And even though we don't get much in the way of precipitation, this is what you want, a very slow melting so we can actually freeze, actually begin to loosen the grip on some of that frozen ground. I sent you some information last week regarding areas where there's no snow on the ground in parts of northern Minnesota and Wisconsin. The frost level actually goes down 6 feet in some areas. So because you have so much snow over so much of the area around here, the frost level probably only goes down about 18 inches, which is good. So even though that frost level goes down 18 inches, that's not bad considering the fact that once we begin to get rid of some of the real frigid temperatures, a very slow melting of the ground and a very slow melting of the snow. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of your guests said last week, we may actually set the stage for what appears to be a very nice spring once temperatures begin to warm up from a standpoint of foliage.
I would be happy with that. I would love to have, as you said, a nice, slow warm-up. That
nice
would make everybody very, very happy. Well, Mr. DeMaio, thank you so much, as always. And you have a great week. We will talk to you next week.
And have some toast on me.
Oh, and a punch key.
Prince Kiswell, take care, Mike.
Okay, all right. That's Rick DeMaio. We are wrapping up the first hour here at Colatex Bakery and Deli, 2445 North Harlem in Chicago. We hope that you can join us in the next hour. If not, stop by before 6 p.m. and fill out a form, and you might win some bread for the rest of the year. You'll be the breadwinner. Okay, local news, or local. National news is coming up, and we will be back with our guests in the second hour of the Mike Novak Show.
Welcome to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show Foodie Party, live from Colatex Bakery and Deli at 2445 North Harlem Avenue in Chicago, where you can find fabulous homemade artisan breads and organic products. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. He's not certified organic, but he is certifiable. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
And we are back live at the exit aisle here at the Colatex Bakery and Deli, 2445 North Harlem in Chicago. It is our foodie fest, and I've been told that I need to put this a different way, that contest we're having. You will win a loaf of bread a week. I guess I didn't make that clear. It's a loaf of bread a week for 44
right.
weeks.
This is 44 loaves of bread, and you come down, you pick them. It's fresh bread. I'm
44
looking,
loaves
I'm
of bread on the wall.
The
44 loaves of bread. Da-da, some of them spelt, some of them sprouted. 44. Okay, sorry. Yes, Lisa, you were saying?
I'm looking at the bakers. They're sitting right in front of us.
Wow.
You should, these people look healthy. You want to eat what they eat.
Hey, Mr. Baker. Mr. Baker, come on over here, Mr. Baker. All right, let him just, since he's here and you're watching the show.
Look at how healthy this man looks. I want to eat what he's making.
He's got rosy cheeks, and he looks like fresh-faced. And
thank you.
What's your name?
My name is Paul Bulo, and I am one of the artisan bakers here at Colatex.
How did you end up at the, see, some of us say Colatex, some say Colatex, some say Kowatek. Right. You could do any way you want.
As long as you end up here, you got it right.
Exactly.
Bart was hiring an assistant, and I applied to the posting. I had some oven experience, and that was it.
Where had you had oven experience?
I grew up in the South Suburbs, and so I baked at a family-owned Italian like pizza place. And so I just baked in pizzas, and that was enough for Bart to bring me on. And
from the ridiculous to the sublime.
Exactly. Okay. Like, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, I didn't know a thing about bread when I started, and he taught me everything he knew, and then gradually I took over, and we experimented. You've got all these, the grains and stuff. These are all the things that I use on a daily basis. They go into the bread. And
so have you gone to Bart and said, hey, we need to try this or that?
It goes both ways. Like, most of the ideas he has, you know, we need to have a sprouted grain bread. All right, great. Well, now we need to have a sprouted grain bread with no wheat. Can we do that? Sure. And then we go from there. We need to have 100% sprouted bread, which you guys just tried.
Yep.
And can we do that? Sure. And we experiment, and you've got the 44 different breads that we've got there on the shelf today.
A loaf of bread a week, people can win if they come and just
right.
put
so
their
Chicago
name.
Right, so Chicago listeners, you know, I feel bad for everybody who's streaming online. I'm sorry you can't participate. But
yes.
Chicago listeners, you've got to get down here and don't miss this opportunity.
It's, you know what,
a loaf of bread
the
a week.
Snow's done. You know, if
you have a big parking lot in the back.
If
don't
you're
worry
not
about parking
used to this by now, you don't, just go move to another place. You know, go warm, where it's warm. But, well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming out.
And I'm glad you're watching the show. He came out with his dirty apron. It's got flour
he's
all over
it. I was working this morning.
You're hardcore.
Well, he brought over the sample grains and beans that I posted on Facebook.
Oh, my goodness.
I saw him over in the milled section pulling all of that.
Oh, you guys are about to enjoy something else here, it looks like.
Oh my gosh,
more food.
More food?
Well, thank you very much.
Wow.
Smoke. Yeah. Now they've brought
Polish hospitality. These amazing open-faced sandwiches.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Well, you got to tell us what you got in here.
What are we looking at?
What's in the sandwiches? Bart, you got any idea? You know this. You're the owner.
Okay, well, these are Polish-type sandwiches, which are open-faced sandwiches. You got your roast beef, you got your turkey, you got your hams, all with a bunch of different veggies on top.
It looks like some fresh sliced cheeses, some butter. Boston butter lettuce?
My favorite bread is the Seven Seeds of Rye, which is good for
seven
you.
Seven Seeds of Rye. Is that the one?
Ezekiel.
That's your
There's
favorite.
Ezekiel and Seven Seeds of Rye, yeah.
Wow. I'm going to be rolling out of here.
Well, no, not with this stuff. This is healthy for you.
Well, no, because I wanted another punchki.
Oh, yeah. Well, the punchki, that'll do it to you. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and Kathleen brought a knife so that I can try many and not have to commit to one.
Should we just shut down and start eating? And,
yeah. You know, hey, folks, so we're going to throw on a best of, and we're just going to eat from here on out. Denny, you can pull that up fast, right?
Yeah, let's throw on an episode of Mighty House, and we'll...
yesterday's episode. They can talk about punchkis yesterday.
Yeah, so there you go. No, we're going to keep broadcasting here because that's why we're here. And as a matter of fact, sitting on my right and on Lisa's right as well, our Gene Nolan, the organic gardener. Gene, how are you?
Happy to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. And Jill Niewohner.
Good morning.
And they're both here because they are going to be speaking at the Good Food Festival in a couple of weeks. And folks who've been listening to my show know that I've been talking about that and promoting it for the last couple. Because I am an official media sponsor, whatever media sponsor means.
Congratulations.
I can tell you there's no money involved, but that's all right, too. But I'm glad to have you guys. Now, you might remember Jean because she was here last summer. I see you've got your book here, From the Ground Up. And how's it been doing?
Oh, it's going great. I've gotten a lot of feedback from people that they're inspired to start growing their own food.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of how-to information, and it's going to be published in Taiwan, which is fun.
Woo-hoo!
It's being translated right now.
We need a bell or a rim shot or
so
something.
So that's
there
kind of strange
Taiwan.
And fun. But really having fun, having my book out there.
You know, I have to ask you something about the book because it's not your typical foodie book. It's not your typical how to grow stuff book. It's a story. And it's your story.
It is.
And along the way, you explain these things. But I know I talked about this last summer when you were on the show talking about the book. It's very, very personal. Any regrets putting all your life out there for everybody to see after 6 months or 8 months of having people talk to you about it?
Absolutely none. Actually, the opposite. I'm definitely having that experience where I've put myself out there honestly, and in exchange, I get people communicating with me in a really meaningful way. I'm just loving it. You know, it's really deepened all my relationships.
You know, this is amazing. So our buddy Bill Curtis, who does the 1 minute, what's it called again?
Earth Matters.
His endorsement of the book, I didn't expect a book about the food movement that would turn out to be a can't-put-it-down page-turner, but that's just what From the Ground Up is. Wow, that's quite an endorsement.
It is. It is a story
You're grinning from ear to ear here.
and if you read the book, it's, I can guarantee, it's not what you expect. That's and I mean that in a good way. It is not what you expect. You will still learn about organic growing, and actually, that's what makes you so interesting, Gene, and unique. You came out of a time when people, very few people, were doing this. You know,
you ended
up in a place where folks were doing organic growing, but you were considered fringe.
Totally.
And now it's mainstream.
Right, right.
And so you had a head start on everybody, in a sense. That's why one of the things I noticed is that you can go to Facebook and look up the Organic Gardener Limited, and yours shows up. You had to have been one of the first, you know, to be able to get that name on Facebook.
Right, right. I mean, when I went to learn to grow food, I was 18. It was 1987. And people sure looked at my parents and me like, that's weird. She wants to go be an organic what? An organic farmer?
Uh-oh. I just have to say that more food just arrived.
I know.
A platter full of incredible olives. Wow.
This is turning into a Monty Python movie, okay? That's what's
the food
happening.
Is piling high. It's multiplying.
I can't see anybody beyond the food.
It's not too much food.
So I'm reading here, too, that you started with the Chicago Lincoln Park Zoo.
Yeah, right.
Over in the children's section.
The gardens we operate there, they're called the Edible Gardens.
Right.
And my team and I do that on behalf of Green City Market, the farmer's market across the street, and we're entering our 10th season there.
Wow.
And actually today, so there's been an ice skating rink on top of our garden all winter, and it's coming off today.
Oh, what's
so
today
we'll see how it's doing under there.
What do you mean it's coming off? How are they going to peel it off?
I don't know.
It's 9 degrees
maybe
outside.
Maybe they're keeping it going longer.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll keep skating on top of our garden.
I know I got an email from them saying, hurry, you're running out of skating.
For the last skate. Mm-hmm. So we've got a fig tree under that ice skating rink and all kinds of stuff. We're hoping it's doing well.
So you have all this experience, and of course you're speaking again at the Good Food Festival. It's the 10th anniversary of the Good Food Festival, and of course the links are all at my website, mikenovak.net. If you go to this week's show, you'll find that out. That Thursday is the Good Food Financing and Innovation Conference. Friday, the Trade Show School Food and Policy Summit. Friday night, the Localicious Party, which is always
Woo-hoo.
A blast. Yeah. So all those crazy organic people.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. And wine and beer. And then Saturday, festival and workshops. And you're going to be part of that. And the woman sitting to your right, Jill, new owner, is part of that, too. Your website is mamagrows.com. You can also find her on Mama Grows on Facebook. And Twitter. And we've got some people tweeting here. As a matter of fact, I've had some people retweeting the information. Oh, Sarah Batka wrote. She says, I wish I was with you at Colatex. Sounds like you're having so much fun. No, we're not, Sarah.
You wouldn't like any of the food, Sarah.
No,
we miss you, Sarah.
Don't worry about that.
Actually, I want to rub it in. Sarah, you would really love the food.
And Mr. Brown Thumb retweeted, or favored, actually, funniest gardening book ever written, Attack of the Killer Asparagus. So I'm glad that people are out there. This is my book. Okay. Now, unlike you, Gene, you had a real publisher and Bill Curtis doing the thing on the back. Okay. Yes, you're a real publisher, Kathleen, but it's kind of in-house.
Wow. Are you in trouble when you get home tonight?
You bet I am. I am in so much trouble. It's a smaller publisher than the one you had.
There's a lot of ways to write books.
Yes, there
are. This can be done.
Yes, there are. And that's the point.
Via many different paths.
I guess the point is, if I can publish a book, anybody can. Anybody can do this. So let's talk a little bit, and we'll get to Jill in a second because she's the mushroom grower, which is so cool.
I am.
And I want to start first with... No, let's start with the mushrooms. What the heck? This is crazy. Why would we not start with mushrooms?
Well, I know Mighty House listeners are ready for this conversation.
I know, because they were talking about it yesterday.
Someone called in from Wisconsin, and she was growing mushrooms. Well, actually, she was harvesting. Harvesting? Do you harvest mushrooms? Do you forage a mushroom?
You can forage. Harvest would be a little tricky in this weather, but
so,
maybe.
So, yeah, so she was talking about that, and then Mike started talking about the logs. And
right. So, okay. Right. The idea, I guess, and sorry, Jean, you just got put on the back page.
I'm easy. I'm happy in my chair looking at the good food.
Bill Curtis acknowledged her book.
So that's right.
She's in heaven over here.
Yeah. You were, when we talked on the phone the other day because I didn't know much about what you do. And Bart probably wants to hear this too because he's going to want to grow his own mushrooms, I'm sure, in the back, in the parking lot. But you were telling me you order like 100 logs and then you roll them into your backyard. And then you inoculate them, whatever that means, and then you wait for a rain. Is that kind of right?
That's pretty much the process. So I started
It seems a little too easy.
It is easy. I started my first log under my dining room table in New York City, and now I've progressed to having them outside, which is much better.
Wait, you can do this inside?
You can do it inside. Then you have to force fruit them by putting them in ice cold water. So you can do it inside. People with balconies and...
I have no outdoor space.
Yeah, it's a nice way to do it. But the easy way to do it in a small backyard is you buy the mushroom spores, you put it into the log with a drill.
So where do you get mushroom spores?
There's places online to buy it.
I would assume that this is one of those things where you're not going to walk into a store and get mushroom spores. You're going to have to do it online.
Correct. And there's certain times a year where you can get them. So you want to inoculate your logs in this climate, in the spring.
I got to tell you, just inoculate your logs. The FCC's listening. I don't even know where we go with that. But that's not something people do every day, inoculate their logs.
Well, they're going to be here in Chicago because there's quite a few of us who are very interested in this, and it's a nice way to grow your own food in your backyard if you have shade or if you don't have a lot of space.
All right. I'm going to invite people, if they've got questions, because I know there are going to be people who say, who've never heard of this, and they're going to want to do it themselves, or more likely, they're going to call and say, I got this log in my backyard. Should I harvest some mushrooms and have them for dinner?
No, definitely not.
Is that the short answer?
That's the short answer. So I grow shiitake mushrooms. They're cultivated, and I use red and white oak. You don't want to just go out and eat whatever mushroom happens to be growing in a tree in your backyard.
I can't just find a log that fell from a frozen tree out of my
it
in the
street. It is possible. When we inoculate logs, we use freshly cut logs because, as you know, mushrooms grow not by photosynthesis like plants. They get their energy from decaying material, from the wood. So if the wood is already too far decayed, you won't end up getting any mushrooms.
All right, 773-763-9278.
Questions.
I know there's questions because the whole mushroom thing sounds fascinating and scary at the same time because you really got to be careful about what you're putting in your mouth if it's a fungus.
Correct.
How dangerous is it to just walk out in your backyard and try to harvest mushrooms?
I would not do that unless you put them there yourself. So I know which
logs. And how do you know that when you put them there yourself and you inoculate them, you're getting the right mushroom? Don't you have to do some ID on them?
You do. But I know what mushrooms I've put into these particular logs. They have drill holes, so the mushrooms grow out of the drill hole.
I get to use power tools, too?
We do use power tools. It's a fantastic.
Power tools in my own house. I just make the cold. I can do all these
and
things.
And hot wax, too. You seal it up with hot wax.
Even more fun.
Then they burst out like Alien?
They do. So it takes about a year for them to overtake the log when you put the material
in. And then the log comes into your house and raids your refrigerator?
No.
And
it grows legs.
Hang out in the backyard and go through the seasons, and in about a year they'll start growing.
About a year?
It takes about 6 months to a year for the mycelium to fill in the cellulose of the log.
So it's not like... gardening where there's the instant gratification. I mean, you can have lettuce in a matter of several weeks.
Correct.
You've got to wait a little bit longer, huh?
You do, but once you get them going, they'll fruit for 5 to 10 years.
Oh, so, you mean what, on one log that you just get going and
exactly.
then it replenishes
exactly.
itself when you harvest?
Exactly.
Wow.
So you usually harvest twice a year,
uh-huh.
two flushes a year, and then it'll
That's
keep
what you
going.
Call them. Now, something else you told me the other day that I was fascinated by was there are two things that make mushrooms fruit in general. And one is rain, so that if you get a rainstorm, you're likely to see a flush of mushrooms after the first year, right?
Correct.
But a drop in temperatures as well?
Correct. So usually there's a 20-degree drop, which will trigger the mushrooms to grow. So in the spring, when it starts to warm up, is when you typically get your first flush, depending uh-huh. on the strain that you use. And then sometimes in the fall, again, when it starts to get colder, you'll get another flush, which is why right now I have a log in my bathtub that is...
I beg your pardon?
It is in my bathtub soaking, so that for the Good Food Fest, I hope to have a log to show with some mushrooms on it.
And it's been there for a year?
No. It's been in my backyard for a year.
Oh, okay.
But I brought it in from the snow.
I misunderstood.
And warmed it up.
So you start. When did you start that? A year ago?
This one could be a few years old.
Okay.
I've got about 100 logs in my backyard.
All right, that's the other thing. You say you got 100 logs. Do you give them away? Do you sell them? How does this work?
I do. So I'm teaching a class June 7th at the Oak Park Conservatory mm-hmm. to help people inoculate their logs, and you'll get to walk away with a couple logs.
Would you stop saying that, please?
It does sound a little naughty.
Just so I have it clear, I can have help inoculating my logs.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
For those of you who don't want to inoculate on your own, this could be a group effort.
Yikes. Where did we go off the rails? That's what I want to know.
I
think this is
where
we started at 10 o'clock.
The whole world inoculation.
Yeah. And how many different kinds of mushrooms do you grow?
So I stick to shiitake mushrooms. I have about 4 different strains of shiitake mushrooms.
Why? Do you just like them?
They're my favorite. They're the ones that I use the most in cooking.
Uh-huh.
And they're the most difficult to grow. So there's a lot of mushrooms you can grow in coffee grounds, and you've seen the kits all over that you can grow in different substrates.
Uh-huh.
They're a little bit easier to do, but shiitakes are sustainable. They continue to fruit year after year, so they're my favorite.
So unlike a traditional garden where we're looking for sun, as Gene knows, it's like that's your prize resource is sun. Yours values shade, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I have
how much shade? I mean, what, do you need some sun, or is it
right.
could it be the
you
just
do
the black
need
hole
some,
or what?
No, you do need some sun. Some mushrooms people grow in their basements. Shiitakes definitely need some sun, and they need the fluctuation in temperatures and seasons.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. By the way, I'm just so fascinated by this. That is,
I know.
Jill,
I want to do it.
Jill Niewohner from MamaGrows.com. MamaGrows.com. Again, if you've got a question or a comment, 773-763-9278 is our phone number. We would love to hear from you. All right. So what we will do now is segue to the traditional, which is not so traditional in your case, Gene.
Right.
No, I know it's weird. It's like there's is there anything that we would call ordinary at this table, Lisa? You don't fit that either.
Oh, thank you.
And that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
It is
a compliment.
That's what makes it fun.
It is absolutely a good thing. Well, here's something else you need to know about. It's March 2nd, and I know what you're thinking. If you live in Chicago, it's nothing I can say without my radio station losing its broadcast license, like inoculating my logs. Okay. However, many of you are also thinking about summer and vegetables, and we will talk about that in just a second. And because I want to give you hope, I'm going to talk to you about getting a Purple Leaf Farm CSA share this year. Now, CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture, which means that you pay something up front and you get a season's worth of produce a lot fresher than you'll see in any store. That's what Purple Leaf Farms is all about. All of their products are grown without the use of any synthetic chemicals such as insect sprays or weed killers. They use earth-friendly growing methods including green mulching, cover cropping, low-flow drip irrigation, reusable weed barriers, and row covers for insect protection. And everything they sell is grown on their one-acre farm in Elgin, Illinois. That's Jessica Rinks. She's a buddy of the show. And she throws in flowers as part of your delivery. Can you resist that? I don't think so. For more information, go to purpleleaffarms.com or call 312-437-7542. 312-437-7542.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
To all of this cold and snow, you know, it's an opportunity to flip through the D. Landreth Seed Company catalog to find your perfect picks for 2014 without feeling as though you're way behind. Or you can go to Landreth Seed Co. on Facebook, where this week they featured red to purple bunching onion seeds. Have you ever grown those, Gene?
I have.
Red purple bunching onion seeds. Did you know that the Egyptians were cultivating onions 5,000 years ago, and that onions were brought to the New World by the very first colonists? Or you might consider purple tomatillo seeds. Tomatillos, like their cousins, the ground cherries and the ornamental Chinese lanterns, are members of a family of plants that produce their fruit in husks. And they are not related to tomatoes, by the way. Ground cherries and tomatillos produce edible fruit. And a word to the wise, the fruit of the Chinese lantern is not edible. Do not eat Chinese lanterns. There are many great seeds, and while it's still winter, check out LandrethSeeds.com or their Facebook page, Landreth Seed Co., or call 800-654-2407, 800-654-2407, D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784.
Still at Colatex Bakery and Deli at 2445 North Harlem Avenue in Chicago, and he refuses to leave until they teach him how to say back up the truck in Polish. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
That's great, Denny.
Good job, Denny. Appreciate it. And Denny, he's a funny guy. But looks aren't everything, right? And I'm 14 years old. That's my kind of humor. you know, I got to get Bart over here to teach me how to say back up the truck in Polish. I would really like to hear that. We are with our friends who are speaking at the Good Food Festival. Good Food Festival will be happening at the UIC Forum in 2 weeks. It is the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Now, most of you are going to be interested in the 15th. because that's the big festival day. There are lots of workshops. There's lots of booths. I'm going to be there just waving and saying, hi, how are you? And WCPT will be there. And the two women on my right will be there, and that is Jill Niewohner, who just told us about mushrooms, and Gene Nolan, the organic gardener. Okay, your turn, Gene.
Okay.
Yay. And your workshop is going to be you're not inoculating your log, I guess.
I am not.
I'm not sitting in your bathtub right now, right?
You are correct. I think that I have an hour and 15-minute slot on Saturday.
And that's part of the difference here, too, that they want me to note, is that you the workshops, some go 3 hours long, some go like an hour 15. Mm-hmm. Jill, you're doing 20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
And it's for people with attention deficit problems. But I mean,
well, apparently it only takes 20 minutes to inoculate your dog. It's a quick process.
Wow.
Sorry.
That deserves a rim shot too. But can you get out everything in 20 minutes?
Absolutely not. This is not a full class on how to inoculate mushrooms. It's just a quick talk about what I do. And show people some pictures and some things. It's not the time of year right now to inoculate anyway. So
there's special season.
Yeah.
So at the festival, we'll just be doing a quick overview.
Now
so,
here we slid back.
Sorry.
To Mama Grows.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay.
It's all about food. That's what counts.
But that's the point about the Good Food Festivals. There's so much you can do at different tracks you want to take. You can slide from a 20-minute seminar to an hour 15. What do you... you and I have done seminars together.
And that was fun.
And Gene. Peggy Malecki is your moderator this year. I guess I got replaced by Peggy, huh?
But she's only moderating me.
Why is it? Yeah.
There's not like a panel.
Yeah, we've had panels.
I mean, you've moderated us when we're a panel.
Yeah.
You know, and done a good job at it.
I herd the cats together.
Right. Exactly.
What do you plan to do in an hour and 15 minutes to teach people about organic gardening?
Well, I'm doing a slideshow, so a PowerPoint presentation, lots of pictures. And we're going to cover a lot of ground. We're going to talk about planning for your garden and what you need to be thinking about in the more, pre-digging phase. Then we're going to talk about what you can grow here in Chicago, when you should plant it, what crops do well easily.
Well, okay, let's stop right there because folks are looking outside and going, oh, my goodness,
this
is crazy. When am I going to be able to do this?
And that is the big question, when, but it is inevitable. The snow will melt.
No, it's not. Not inevitable.
And then
at
it
all.
Will be wet, and then the snow will dry a bit.
And that's a problem because we talked about that on the show last week, the idea that if you get into your garden too soon and you compact your soil, you're in a world of hurt.
Right. It is going to need to dry up a bit.
What do you tell people about when to tell when the ground's ready for planting? It's because some people want to plant, they want to sow seeds as soon as the ground's, warm enough, because you can do the cool season
veggies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, we typically start planting around April 14th. We don't think we're going to be able to do that this year. We're probably going to be about a week later than that.
You're already planning that. Yeah,
I know. We're already bumping our schedule up, and, we've got 150 gardens to plant, so
you mean
we've
got to
be strategic.
Your company, the Organic Gardener
exactly.
Limited.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and your other garden at Lincoln Park Zoo is under an ice rink.
It's under an ice rink, so that's going to take some work to get that ready, too.
Were the Blackhawks playing there yesterday?
Right,
is that what happened?
Yeah. It's a little small for that.
Yeah, I think so. But that's interesting to know that folks who normally do this need to set their sights back a little bit, push.
Yeah,
just relax a little bit at the moment.
Right, and for most of us gardeners, the first step of the season is to aerate our soil, add some compost, add some organic fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of doing that in the spring or in the fall?
So I've done it both ways. Here, we typically do that in the spring.
Uh-huh.
The problem with, I have found, preparing soil in the fall is then you get a lot of compaction from the snow.
If we have snow, because we don't always have it, as you know.
Right. So, you know.
So you're saying this snow here is already compacting soils.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're... You're nodding too, Jill.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, if you're growing in a raised bed and your soil was, you know, filled to the top at the beginning of last season, it's gone down 6 inches by now.
Yeah.
So we're always bringing in a lot of compost and aerating the soil.
One of the great things that your book has at the back of it in the appendices area is 10 lists of 10 essentials for every aspiring gardener. And I've got three of those lists here because they're the ones that I just happen to be attracted to. And the first one was how to grow a food garden in 10 steps. The other one, the second one, let's get to it here. Was, and I can almost find it.
Want me to say it?
10 ways to tackle weeds and pests without chemicals. Oh, you've got the book. See, I've got it, a print out here.
Well, and she wrote it. She kind of knows.
Well, that's true. She might know that.
Hey, I bet this isn't her first rodeo.
I've written things that I don't remember, okay? And then 10 easy to grow vegetables for the beginning gardener. Let's start with the first one, how to grow a food garden in 10 steps. What's the mistake people make right out of the gate?
Well, most common mistake is... you know, I'll get a phone call. You know, I tried to grow a garden, but nothing grew. And I'll say, well, where'd you plant it? Well, I put some carrot seeds in with my in my flower bed. And I'll say, well, did you prepare the soil specifically for vegetables? No. So that's common right there. It's a misconception.
That vegetables
can just grow anywhere. You need to put some forethought and planning.
Especially a carrot, because it's got to go down
exactly.
And expand. And if the soil's not friable, if it's not loose, the
right.
carrot's not going to do anything for you. And if you put it in with your flower bed, chances are the carrot's getting shaded by the flowers
right.
that you had.
Or munched by a local bunny who's hopping by.
But I do have to ask you about carrots, because it took me a couple of years. I finally got the beets thing down.
Okay, very good.
That was,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Good.
That was tough. It was like the first year they were just awful. Spindly and nasty and all right. And then we got this really great compost from Mark Moxley at Lake Street Landscape.
Oh, yeah. They've got great stuff.
Oh, I love Mark.
They're wonderful.
If I had the bell here, I would ding it right now.
Good people.
And that was kind of the trick for the beets, is that just have this really good soil, give them plenty of sun, give them room. Then I went after potatoes. I've gotten into this ground
the
thing.
Roots. You're the, feeling
the,
rooty.
The root crop. And the last couple of years, last year in particular, I had great success with potatoes.
They are so fun to grow.
They really... we got a question coming up in just a second on the phone. I'm glad to hear that. And then this past year, I tried to do carrots, not very successful with the carrots. And one of them was the thing that I'm using my wisdom and what I learned, which is they got shaded out by some of the plants around them. I put things a little too close together. So
That'll do it.
Yeah. So I'm thinking this year, carrots, I'm throwing them out there by themselves. Mm-hmm. This is the carrot patch. Nothing else near it, and let them and have really good friable soil.
Yeah, the soil's really important for carrots.
And somebody else who was growing carrots told me, I said, "Well, what's your secret?" And she said, "I just plant so many seeds that it's something's bound to happen."
Oh, well, that
there
could
you go.
Be dangerous.
That would be my solution. Just throw it all.
You can get an opposite effect, which is where you overseed the carrots, and then they just all grow teeny little carrots all mashed together. So.
Yeah. So you got to
throw in a lot of seed to start and then thin them.
And when do you thin the carrots?
Usually thin them when they're about a couple inches tall.
Yeah.
And you know, think about two carrots growing next to each other. So you want to thin them to a couple, 2-3 inches apart. You want to give them some space.
Okay. Well, let's take that phone call. Denny, who have we got on the line?
This guy's name's John in Zion.
John in Zion, welcome to the Mike Novak Show, and thank you very much for calling. What's your question?
Well, we've been having problems with the potting soil lately. A couple of years ago, I started out with Schultz, and that worked great because it was super soft and stuff. And then the following year, because I couldn't get Schultz, I went to Miracle-Gro, and Miracle-Gro was garbage. Because I ended up taking... I've got 5-gallon pails, and I've got out on my patio, I try to grow plants, you know, in buckets. And so I end up taking that old potting soil up north to my other garden that I have up there. And and I put the Schultz into the raised garden, and I let it sit for a couple years, you know, by still using the soil by planting. But last year I went back up there to replant in it, and it was just like I got done rototilling. It was that soft, and I felt that was the best. But I can't find Schultz's anymore.
Mm-hmm. You know, here one of the things about potting soils, potting mixes, one of the things I realized after years of doing this, and I would go and talk to people about their soil and compost, and I realized that we were thinking two different thoughts, that I would be standing up there and talking about compost, and I was thinking of a big pile of it that you got from a place like Lake Street Landscape Supply, and then the people I was talking to in the audience were thinking of it in a bag, like mm-hmm. Schultz, and there's a disconnect there, mm-hmm. because I don't even buy that stuff anymore. And some of it can be good. There's some good products out there. But I want something that's fresh. I know that the biology is kicking in it right now. So I'm happier doing that. Now, what do you say to somebody who, Gene, has been using a product like this and needs to get the nutrients in the
right.
soil?
Right. So a question for you, John, just so that I'm clear. Are you looking for potting soil to use in your containers, in your buckets and pots where you're growing veggies, or are you looking for it to grow in your in-ground garden?
It'd be like in the pots because okay. I can't keep taking it out of the
garden. And that's good. You're on the right track here, because when you are growing in a pot, you do want to use a potting soil.
Right.
It's got the fertilizer in it.
It's got the fertilizer, but it has two other things that you want. It has elements in it that make it light and fluffy, a little better than just using straight compost in a pot. And it also has elements that help it retain moisture because, you know, in a pot, in a container, that's really key. You know, my words to you would be to, at this point, go organic. You want to look for a certified organic potting soil. Fox Farm makes a great one called Happy Frog. Locally, even better, if you can get the potting soil made by the folks at Cowsmo. They're up in Wisconsin, and a lot of local nurseries are carrying their potting soil.
And it's got
cow manure composted in it. It's got a lot of good stuff.
I even tried a place that sold horse manure, and I had to stay away from it because later on I found out through Mother Earth News that they treat the feed for the horses with Monsanto, and Monsanto it neutralizes your garden for 3 continuous years. And I was having problems with that, so I don't buy a horse at all anymore.
I think, you know, go for one of those for your pots, you know, a certified organic potting soil.
Yeah, okay. And I was also mentioning Purple Cow.
That's a great one.
I know that Midwest Ground Covers does a couple of good mixes. Mm-hmm. You can look on the bag to find out if they're certified organic. Mm-hmm. They may not necessarily be all certified organic. Some of them use organic processes, but they're not certified organic.
That's right.
I think Gene and I are on the same page. We like some of the custom houses that make potting mixes rather than...
Right, like Miracle-Gro makes a potting soil.
Yeah.
I really try to steer an organic one, even a certified organic one, but I'd rather see you go with a more boutique and, if possible, local source for it, which we have more and more of.
Hey, John, would you like a couple of tickets to the Good Food Festival? John?
He dropped.
Oh, we lost him.
John, call back.
If he calls back, he's got a couple of tickets to the Good Food Festival.
Call back to the station, John, and give us your info.
So there you go. And again, that's part of the deal when you're talking to people about soils and gardening. You got to know what they're talking about. You have to be on the same page. Are we talking a container?
Right.
Are we talking in the ground?
Yeah, because they're very different.
And you really should not use that pile of compost that I talked about from like Lake Street and put it in a pot. You need what they call soilless mixes, all right? Mm-hmm. And it seems contradictory, but they are often called soilless mix because it has peat or it has something like that or core in there to keep it light and, as you said, absorb water. And so, you know, I have to admit, I'm not a fan of the ones with the fertilizer already in them. I'd rather do that myself, too.
I'm with you.
totally. Okay, that is Jean Nolan here in at Colatex. She's the author of From the Ground Up, A Food Grower's Education in Life, Love, and the Movement That's Changing the Nation. It got published last year, and it's still out there. Taiwan has just picked it up. They're going to publish it in Taiwan, which is cool. She is speaking at the Good Food Festival on Saturday, March 15th. I hope you can go there. And to her right, of course, we have Jill Niewohner from Mama Grows. We've been talking about inoculated logs and mushrooms. Again, if you have any more questions, 773-763-9278. In the meantime, you need to come to Colatex. Stop by and enter the contest to win a loaf of bread a week.
For the remainder of the year.
For the remainder of the year. See, Kathleen's smiling now because I got that. And I'm going to remind you also to go online to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to the homepage and see Attack of the Killer Asparagus. It's my brand new Kickstarter to... You like that title?
That is a great title.
Thank you.
Really. And
thank
I know how hard one works to get a title.
Yeah. Titles are hard, aren't they?
Oh, so hard.
Yeah, you'll know this, Jill, when you
like
get your first
book. Naming a child
book.
When I write my
it
first
is.
Book.
Yeah. I found it harder than naming a child by far. Because then you need the subtitle.
Well, you have to put words together.
Oh.
A kid is one name.
Give me a kid to name any time over a book.
You can pick a family member to cheat for half of it.
And, like you, I also have a subtitle. It's Attack of the Killer Asparagus and Other Lessons Not Learned in the Garden.
Fantastic.
That's great. I can't wait.
I've been talking all winter about, well, since January, about all the plants I killed. I have been killing plants at an incredible rate this winter. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm killing plants. Oh, well. All right, here's a tip from the Care of Trees. You listen to them and not me. A client from Chicago asked whether tree roots only go out as far as the branches on trees. The biggest root is the one that goes straight down into the ground. Is that true? Well, it's a common misconception that tree roots go straight down. Even folks who know that tree roots are generally found in the top 12 inches of soil sometimes think that they extend out only as far as the drip line. That's where the branches end. In fact, roots reach much farther out than that. They don't go down. They go out. Keep this in mind when you are considering construction around your home or office, such as building a deck or extension. It might seem as if the construction is far enough from the tree to actually damage it, but you might not know, which is why you should call 800-508-9466 for a free consultation from the Care of Trees. 800-508-9466 or go to TheCareOfTrees.com, The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Have you noticed that there's something going on in the food industry? It's becoming much less industrial. People all over Chicagoland, the U.S., and the world are rediscovering fresh, local food. Thursday, March 13th through the 15th, the Good Food Festival and Conference makes its return to Chicago at the UIC Forum. There will be urban farm tours, workshops with experts in a range of fields, and exhibitors from across the country sharing the latest in sustainable food systems, public policy, and, of course, great food to enjoy. Just visit goodfoodfestivals.com to learn more. There you can purchase tickets, get directions, and check out the workshop schedule and the exhibitor list. Sustainable local food systems can transform our communities, our environment, and our economy. But it's up to us to get informed and get involved. It's the 10th annual Good Food Festival and Conference, March 13th through the 15th at the UIC Forum in Chicago. Brought to you by FamilyFarmed.org. For more information, go to goodfoodfestivals.com.
If you've ever filed a lawsuit, you know that it can be stressful, even traumatic. And if you've been exposed to asbestos, silica dust, or other lung toxins, you're going to need a law firm that can guide you through the legal maze efficiently and effectively. The attorneys of Penn Rakowski are exactly who you're looking for. They view each client and their needs as unique. They're focused on one thing and one thing only, lung disease. And they're based right here in Illinois and Wisconsin. The lawyers at Penn Rakowski have been representing individuals suffering from lung disease and their families for a combined 35 years. And because they're local, they can come to you. They've successfully represented asbestos workers, electricians, carpenters, machinists,
machinists and others throughout both states. Contact Penn Rakowski at dustlaw.com or call them toll-free at 888-LUNG-LAW. That's 888-LUNG-LAW. Penn Rakowski, local, committed, caring.
When you think about post-consumer waste streams, and I know you do every day, you're probably not thinking about granite slabs. I'm talking about leftover countertop materials from stone fabricators all over America. I'm talking about millions and millions of pounds ending up in landfills for no good reason. Until Julie Rizzo and RecycledGranite.com entered the picture. Now that countertop material from stone fabricators all over the country is turned into recycled granite pavers, split stone tiles, mosaics, and aggregates. How? Recycled Granite's patented machinery transformed the scrap into various shapes and sizes. 100% of that granite is recycled. That's what I'm saying. 100% of it is recycled, so millions of pounds of waste does not end up in landfills, and true green U.S. jobs are created. Not only that, but Recycled Granite has created something called the Green Abilities Program, where individuals with disabilities are certified as recycled granite artisan apprentices, and they learn how to specifically work with recycled granite waste. How cool is that? Want to know more? Go to recycledgranite.com or call 800-692-4642. 800-692-4642.
And now back to the Mike Novak Show Foodie Party from Colatex Bakery and Deli at 2445 North Harlem Avenue in Chicago. And if he doesn't bring back at least one poochki to us here at the station, he'll have a little trouble getting in the building next week. Here's Mike Novak.
Woohoo! All right, we're in the home stretch here at Colatex Bakery. Hey, Bart, get over here for a second. I understand you can just lean into that mic right there. How do you say back up the truck in Polish? That's what I want to know.
Cofnij troka. Cofnij troka.
Cofnij troka.
Cofnij troka, yeah.
Okay. I'm getting the truck, and I'm going to go, cofnij troka. All right.
Got the accent down.
Well, you know, at least I got that. I listened to my parents. When my parents would talk about the kids, we all knew what or was the nickname, something like that. So you'd hear da 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 in Polish, Michał. Oh, they're talking about me. Yeah, that's how that worked.
All right, so more food has arrived.
More food.
I am eating now the Polish version of chili.
Wow.
I know it's not polite to eat on the air, but
no, go for it.
I figured it was part of my job today was to eat this food.
But it's beautiful how it's come to us.
So it's come in a beautiful bread bowl, surrounded by Polish sausage. Is that a kielbasa? What is that called?
Kielbasa. Kielbasa.
It's a huge bread bowl, though.
And it's so good.
It is a huge bread bowl.
It has...
you know, I got to have some kielbasa. I'm sorry.
Those look like kidney beans, black beans, and pinto beans. It's unbelievable. Oh, Mike is eating the
kielbasa. That kielbasa is awesome. This is awesome. Mm. Okay. I shouldn't have done that.
So, Mike, this is Carol. We do have caller. Hi, how are you guys? We have a caller. Her name is Susan, and she was actually born in Poland from the western suburbs, and she was so excited to hear about Colatex.
I tell you what I'm going to do. Bart, come around. Gene, give Bart your headset there for a second, because Bart's going to want to hear this caller who's from Poland. And lives where, Carol?
She didn't say the exact suburb, western suburbs.
All right. What's her name?
Her name is Susan.
Okay.
But she was very excited to hear about Colatex.
Are you there, Susan?
Hi, Mr. Mike, and hi, your co-host and guest. I'm Susan. I live here in Bloomingdale. I am so enjoying your program, especially today. I also listen every Sunday. All your programs are so interesting to me. And I was actually calling in for the spelling of Colatex because I need to go and see how far it is away from my home. And I am already for a long time in search of a very good natural bread without the hidden chemicals. And I think I found one today, and I
think you did. And we've got, We've got Bart right here, and maybe you guys need to have a little conversation in Polish. You can make her feel at home.
I am not so good anymore in Polish. I am away for 50 years. And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I lost most of my ability to speak. I understand better than I speak.
Well, Bart, tell her where you're located.
Well,
here.
We're at, our spelling is K-O-L-A-T-E-K, Kolatek. Apostrophe S, KolatekBakery.com. We're at Harlem and Grand, just north of Grand.
Okay.
And we have many of the breads you're looking for. We have a cornucopia of breads to choose from. We don't want to use any additional preservatives or additives or fillers or
yeah, and then you have breads. Other items as well. You beets and you have smoked fish, and these are all.
We have smoked fish. We sauerkraut our own kraut. We
sauerkraut
have our own,
is one of my favorite.
We make our hunter stew and red burst stew with our own sours. We make pure sourdough. So that's we're authentic.
Yeah. So we hope you will come here.
And I will introduce myself that I was the caller today.
Susan, that would be wonderful.
Love it.
Yes. Susan, thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. I enjoy your program.
And I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
She did want to talk about the Good Food Festival she was possibly interested in as well.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what.
You know what? She just hung up, but I have...
She's
all right. I have her number.
She's listening.
I've got
all right,
her number.
Have her number.
Yep.
Call her. If she wants two tickets, she's got them.
Great.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Why don't you put that back on Gene there? And right here, we got an audience right here. I want to give away a couple of pairs of tickets to the Good Food Festival as well. So here's what I'm thinking. What's today? March 2nd. Whose birthday is the closest to March 2nd right now here for somebody who wants to go to the Good Food Festival? That's how simple it is. Hey, we got anybody?
Nobody's sure. Actually, who's interested? You're May 20th? May 20th.
May 20th? Do you want to go?
Oh, we have a January 23rd.
Oh, you are going to the festival?
Have you already got your tickets?
You got two tickets. We'll get you two tickets.
All right.
I will get you the information when we're done here. We need to wrap this up because I know this is just going
already.
So
we need to.
I know
we needed to be here for
so quickly.
4 hours.
We didn't even get to all those other 10 lists. All right, give me, in 30 seconds, which vegetables, Gene, you think people should grow because they're easy and fun?
Cucumbers, beans, lettuce, tomatoes, and peppers. There you go.
That's sort of your standard list.
I think those are good.
But cucumbers, I found out recently, cucumbers have a lot going for them.
They do, and there's so many different types. My daughters love lemon cucumbers. At our garden in the zoo, we grow a baby gherkin cucumber. It's a teeny little thing, and they're so fun and delicious. So I think cucumbers are great fun, and they're really different when you grow them and eat them fresh, fresh picked. They're juicy. They almost drip with liquid. They're so good and crunchy and yummy.
Well, it sounds like it's fun for kids.
Oh, yes, definitely. I think gardening with kids is a really important, fun, good thing to do.
We do it in our community garden all the time.
Right?
It's pretty amazing and rewarding. Now, Jill, knee owner, what mushrooms do you like? You like shiitakes because you grow them, but do you like all kinds of mushrooms?
I like all mushrooms, but shiitakes are my favorite. I like portobellas. Mm-hmm. I have grown those in sawdust, and those are my favorite.
Well, if folks want more information about, because you said you're going to be doing the workshop in the summer, but you're also doing the workshop at the Good Food Festival, they should go to mamagrows.com. They should also go to... my website to look up the Good Food Festival and the information. Gene Nolan's going to be there teaching organic gardening. It's going to be a fabulous time. Folks, there's so much energy on that Saturday at Good Food Festival, and I'm going to be there saying hi to people. But before we get out of here, I want to thank everybody who helped make this possible because they've all worked very, very hard. Mike McCarthy, of course, spinning the dials, as they say. Right behind him, Matt Cummings holding up signs and waving frantically and showing us photos of mushrooms growing on his tree in his backyard. Dennis Sheeter at the studio. Carol Brewer at the studio. Lisa Albrecht sitting next to me. Corinne, Corinne and Mark are here in the back. Chris Schrage. Did I get it even close to right?
Schrage.
Schrage. Okay, yeah, he can't hear.
You got it.
And, of course, Kathleen Thompson, who's always part of the episode. And I know that you should get over here before 6 p.m. today. If you do that, you have a chance to win a loaf of bread a week. That's 44 weeks until the end of the year. We want to thank Cola, Texas, for, of course. Bart Kolatek.
Many people have been running food swap all day.
And so thank you so much. We will see you next week, maybe back in the studio. Stop by.
Go green or?
Go green or?
Go home.
Go home. Almost forgot that.